that will begin the service by singing number 402, the fifth and the last stanza. 402. He sends his swift commandment and snow and ice and foam. The world and none are able to stand before his cold. Again he gives commandment, the winds of summer blow. The snow and ice are melted, again the waters flow. Number 402. Read to you the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we will read to you from God's holy word out of the book Genesis, the 49th chapter, the first part. Genesis 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then revilest thou it, he went up to my coats. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of heaven and of earth, we see thy power, but also thy greatness in the realm of nature. Where the earth is covered with snow, and that is coming forth out of thy treasures, Lord, that we may see something of thy majesty and thy glory in the realm of nature, because by nature we are all blind. We have no eyes to see and no hearts to observe, unless that it is given unto us from above. Have mercy with us in this evening. Made us whiter than snow. Was and cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb, and that it may please thee not to pass us by, but to visit us in thy love and in thy favor, where it must well be a wonder that we have the opportunity also this evening to come together in this house of worship. It could be that it was all cut off, but thy mercies are great and manifold, that it humble us in dust and ashes, and that thy Holy Spirit was sent in our midst and in our heart, and make us receptive for thy word that shall come unto us, and that it empower of thee unto salvation, and savor of life unto life, for us and for our children as travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity. It is all in thy hand, Lord. Thou speakest and it is her. Thou commandest and it stands firm. And there is no worthiness in us at all, but view us in all our needs and wants, in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased. And that thy word was to an eternal blessing for young and old, great and small, that we may see in this evening the glory of Christ, where he was promised in the olden times already unto the patriarchs, and in the fullness of time he came laying in a manger and humbling himself so deep that God's justice will be satisfied. The sins of thy people wished out and forgiven. The power of the devil be broken down, the head of Satan bruised, and obtained a righteousness which cover all thy people for time and for eternity. O Lord, remember us. Strengthen, O everywhere, thy servants and those that have read thy word. Anoint him with thy spirit, and also him who is called in this evening to preach thy word in the midst of the congregation. Give him desire and give him wisdom and boldness and freedom and everything what is necessary to look and to seek the honor of thy name and the welfare of thine, that it was not to aggravate our punishment, but that it was to an eternal blessing for young and old, great and small. Those that could not gather with us, remember them, young and old, great and small. Those that are sick and weak and old, we commend them at thy throne. Also in the hospitals and in the houses, thou knowest all the needs and wants. Our boys in the service and in Vietnam, protect them by day and by night. Remember the widows and the fatherless and the widows, and that the eyes were upon thee from whence is coming all our help. Made everything well in the families and personally with the country, with those that rule over us. Bring us all back to thy eternal word and prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Forgive all our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 35. Number 35. Since with my God, with perfect heart, I walk and make his word my guide. And from iniquity depart, the Lord his blessing will provide. Number 35. beloved congregation, with rapid strides we are approaching and entering the end of the year. And year after year, when we come to the last month, then the four Sundays set before Christmas, then it is since the year 500 already, and custom in the church that the minister speak about the promises given to the church in the Old Testament in regard to the coming of Christ in this world. They call that Vent Sundays. And in the word Advent is also the word coming. That is finally the right meaning of the word Advent. That there is something coming. And of course, Christ is coming in the world because he was promised already when Adam and Eve had sinned and had blocked up that way that would lead to eternal happiness. But where we have closed and blocked up that way, the Father had opened that way of salvation in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. This evening, we also ask your attention for one of the promises referring to the coming of Christ in this world. My text is in Genesis 49, verse 8. Genesis 49, verse 8, Jude, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. This verse. This evening, we are called to a deathbed. The deathbed of Jacob. One of the patriarchs. And of course, you can see also there in that history that the Lord is free and sovereign in all his ways. Abraham, he was the father of all the faithful. And Isaac, he was a praying man. That was one of the severest characteristics of his life. You find him time and again on his knees praying to the Lord. The life of Jacob was very difficult. A difference between his life and the life of all those other ones was so great as that there is a difference between light and darkness. Nevertheless, you read in Psalm 146, happy is the man who had the God of Jacob for his help. Not the God of Abraham and Isaac, but the God of Jacob. And you know why that we read that in that text, because most of God's people here in this world come closer with their life to the life of Jacob than to the life of Abraham and Isaac. There are not so many that can compare himself with the two first ones, but with Jacob, that is something else. He was one of the patriarchs whose life was a life of up and down. He was very old already when he had left the house of his father and his mother. The reason why that he had to do it were not so nice, because he bought that first birthright from his brother Esau, but you know under what circumstances. And then the worst part of it, that was that he lied against his father Isaac. His conscience was defiled and polluted, and so that Jacob had to leave the house of his parents. Thus, really, it was not so nice. And later on, the Lord, he revealed himself to him. And then after 20 years, the Lord fulfilled his promise. But then again, it goes wrong in his life. And then after 10 years, then he came. Thus, that is 20 and 10, that is 30 years. Then he came finally back to that place that he had promised the Lord to come back, 30 years. And then you know all that have taken place in that life. We shall step that over and pass that by this evening. You know, of course, everything about it. And now, after a life that was short and full of troubles, now finally he lay on his deathbed. And his deathbed, that was really a pulpit. You read nothing about Abraham of Isaac in that respect. They died in good age. The Lord took them away. They entered into heaven. But very quiet they leave this world. But that was now different with that Jacob. And of course, one of the things that was this, that Jacob, when he lay on his deathbed, then it was no more Jacob. His whole life he has troubled with it. His whole life. But on his deathbed, then Jacob was gone. And it was Israel. And he was laying there as a prophet. He commanded his children, 12 in all, to come to his deathbed. And he had for all those boys, he had a message. A message that the Lord had given him. The first, of course, that was Reuben. But on account of his polluted life, he did not receive the blessing, the greatest blessing. He had sinned away his first birthright. And then the two other boys, that Simeon and Levi, Jacob, he cursed them. What an awful thing, but he brought them back to them and he reminded them what they have done with that city Shechem. They have murdered that out entirely. As you can realize if you read that here in this chapter, what a rough boys that they were before. Rough. You have always heard that they say from some people, you can better eat with them than fight with them. But that was also with that Simeon and with that Levi. The Lord would destroy him. And still later on, then they receive a place in the tabernacle and in the temple, that Levi. And that tribe, the sovereignty of the Lord. And then, of course, then the fourth one, that was Jude, and when he came by the bed of his father, then that Israel, he said, Jude, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. You can well realize that Jacob was no more Jacob, but it was entirely Israel. Because if it was late in the end of Jacob, then he had passed by that Judah too. Because his life that was also evil and not nice. Joseph, that was a boy that feared the Lord. He was loved by his father, but he was not the one out of whom that Christ will be born. No. And of course, that was already something of it heard and seen as soon as that he was born. You read about it in the Word of God, as he conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. With the first three boys that came in the world and that were brought in the world by Leah, she was bothered first with Reuben, with herself. With the second, she was bothered by Rachel. And with the third, she was bothered with Jacob himself. And what was now the trouble with that Leah? That Leah, of course, she needed much grace in her life too. She was, of course, that woman that was well given to Jacob, but never he had desired to have her as a wife. It was for him a disappointment. And Jacob, he had showed that in his life time and again. You read even in the Bible that he hated that woman. And still, most of his children were from Leah. And now the first that Reuben, that she thought about herself, as he thought, I am happy. Rachel have no children, but I have now a boy. And then, of course, she was proud to have that boy. Can we realize it? But, of course, the condition between her and Jacob was not changed. And later on, she had that Simon, and then she said, because I was hated by Jacob and by Rachel also, he has therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. She had hoped every time that the condition in the house became different, but no. And then she conceived again and bare a son and said, now, this time, will my husband be joined unto me. Because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. This then she had Jacob himself before her, but to chase a man, that is only the work of the Lord. You cannot better try to move the shirts than to try a man in his thoughts and in his opinion. Really. And still a converted man. No doubt. No doubt at all. And then later on she received a fourth boy. And then she talked nothing about herself. She was no more thinking about Rachel, no more thinking about Jacob, no. Then she brought that fourth boy in the world. then she was delivered in that respect from everything. And then she said, now will I praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah. She was highly blessed there. Because if you are bothered with this person and that person in your life, that is an awful bothering. But we cannot surrender ourselves into the hand of the Lord. That happens now when Judah was born. And of course, the name of Judah, that signifies a lover of God. He was praising the Lord. Nevertheless, people, if there is one page in the Bible that you see that free and that sovereign grace glorified here on earth, then you are see it in that Judah. Because was now that Judah better than other people? No. You know, that black page that was in his life, in Genesis 38, that he refused to give his son Selah to Tamar. And he had promised it, but he refused. And then you know what happens with that widow, that she was sitting there on the roadside, and then finally that Judah that came from a feast, and he had some communion with her in a wrong way. And as he brought into this world two boys, an awful thing. And you would say, how was that now possible, thinking about it? That now Jacob on his deathbed, that he could say, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. But you see, congregation, the sovereignty of the Lord. Because out of that tribe, Christ would be born. And then, of course, one of the boys, his name that was Pharis. And Pharis, that signifies breed. And that referred to the covenant breed in paradise, where we have broken the covenant with the Lord, but also have broken to a certain extent that second covenant, that holy covenant of the Lord, because it was really an awful thing. But there have taken place. But now Christ, he humbled himself so deep. He was not ashamed to call his people his brethren. And Christ was the one who would say he was not ashamed to call Judah his father and Tamar his mother. And out of that Tamar and out of that Perez, there Christ is also born. Who can comprehend that with his mind, people? No. We cannot straighten it out with our mind. That is impossible. But there you see the sovereignty of the Lord, because it was not only Judah, but also the tribe of Judah that was also polluted with sin later on, because you read in Hosea 12 about that tribe, that the Lord has also a controversy with Judah. Thus, the Lord, he was angry to that tribe of Judah. And then in Malachi 2 verse 11, there you read again about the tribe of Judah. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange God. This, that now Christ was will be born out of that Judah, that was not because there was any worthiness in that Judah himself. Also not later on in that tribe itself, no. But there you see that free and that sovereign grace that the Lord is glorifying all the time, and that his name shall be honored, that men, that he had nothing to say, people, no. And we have to admire the Lord in the greatness of his grace and in the excellency of his sovereignty that he had revealed in the life of that Judah and in the life of that tribe, that Christ would be born out of it. And still, congregation, where now that sovereign grace was fallen in that Judah and in that tribe, there you see through the Old Testament, you see there also that in that Judah, that there was something revealed, what the Lord has wrought in that man and in that tribe. And then you see several things that we can look to the glory of Christ in the fullness of time. In the first place, that Judah, after that he had sinned with that sister-in-law, with that daughter-in-law, then he bowed as a guilty one before the Lord and before that daughter. And he said, "You are more righteous than I am." He was not rebellious. And he had not tried to justify himself, no. But immediately bowed under the Lord there. Reuben, he said to his father, "I give you two of my boys, if Benjamin never come back." But Reuben, he gave not himself, no. He would give two of his boys. But now,
that you dare to ask in different cases, because you read in the Word of God that he placed himself as a surety for Benjamin to his father. He said, I shall be the surety. And that refers also to the glory of Christ in the fullness of time, and even now, sitting at the right hand of his father. Is there more in the life of that Jude that there still is indifference? Oh, yes. You know, there came later on trouble. Because Rehoboam, he did listen to the younger ones, the advice of the older ones, he rejected. Because the taxes and everything that was so high, that the people came to him and they said, we will acknowledge you as a king, but please, then you have to make it for us easier as now. And then that boy, he had a conference with his boys, with whom they was living, with whom that he go to school, and they say, oh man, use your mind. You must not listen to that people. No. Talk to them, and say that you are the man who rule the nation, and that they have unconditionally to bow under it. And then he said, I shall bring scorpions over you. In other words, under my service, your life shall be much harder as that it was under Solomon. And then, of course, then there were 10 tribes, they say goodbye. Goodbye. But then the tribe of Judah, they stayed. And what was now the reason that Judah stayed with Rehoboam? Oh, they accept that hard service of Rehoboam for the self-willed religion of Jeroboam. A clear proof that there was something of the grace of the Lord was in that tribe. And then you read later on in the Chronicles, I think it is in the 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And then the country that was oft was awful, so despising the Lord and transgressing the commandments of the Lord. But then you read in 2 Chronicles that in the tribe of Judah there were found not some good things. And that was the only tribe that they say it about. And if there now is grace in our heart, people, then there is always not some difference. There is always not some difference. In other words, the sun is sometimes not shining through the dark clouds. And now here in that text it said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Dus Jude was de tribe out of whom that Christ would be born. We find in the Old Testament more prophecies about it than that we have here in short words, because you read in Micah, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And of course that also that place that was laying in the tribe of Judah, the Bethlehem Ephratah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And if you now think about that text and that prophecy, then when Christ was born, what happens then? Then there came even an Anna, an old widow, 84 years old, and she came to the Bethlehem manger to worship Christ. Thy brethren shall praise thee. And then you read about an Nathanael, that man that came from Galilee. But the Lord, he said, you shall see greater things as thee. He promised them to see the glory of Christ, which he already was privileged to confess when he saw Christ with his bodily eyes. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thus we have here in that text, in the first place, that Christ born out of Judah, that he is the son of God's good pleasure, in whom the Father had all his pleasure. And that now outside that Christ, that there is no Savior, because the salvation that is in no other, and there is under heaven given no other name through whom that we must be saved than only the name of Jesus Christ. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. All shall surround round about that Christ. And whether that now the people desire it, yes or no, but the Father had spoken here on the deathbed of Jacob, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. We all, with other words, we all are coming in the deck. The Lord can have nothing to do with you and with me. That is all cut off. Oh. But now that Judah, that is the one, that Christ is the one. Because if you read here, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, then we have full freedom to say it in these words. Jesus Christ, he is the one, the only one, whom his brethren shall praise. Because they all be brought to that Christ. They all are privileged in their life to look up from himself. And they come to the acknowledgement how wretched that they are in himself. And how condemned that they are in himself. But that now in Christ is the reconciliation with God. And that in Christ now all the fullness is dwelling. And that now out of the fullness of Christ, that now God's people receive grace for grace, and that now in that way, that he shall be praised by his brethren. In other words, that means that now that Christ in the life of God's children shall receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, that is the reason that we read in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There you have, in practice, the fulfillment of that Jacob, what Israel had said here on his deathbed, to that Judah, referring to that blessed Christ, who is now at the right hand of his Father, and of whom we are singing now. Number 242, 3 and 4, thy name with gladness they confess, exalted in thy righteousness, their fame and might to thee belong, for in thy favor they are strong. 242, 3 and 4. Further, we read not only in this text, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, but thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. The second part of this text that referred to the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. And now we have a place in the Bible that refers to that very wonderfully. And that is in Psalm 18, verse 40. And that same text you find that also back in 2 Samuel 22, verse 41. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I may destroy thee that hate me. And then in Joshua 10, verse 24, there we read about those five kings who were caught by Joshua, the kings of Jerusalem, of Hebron, Jermut, Lachish, and Eglon. And when they had those five kings caught, then they asked Joshua what to do with them. And then you read there, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Yahshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captain of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. They have done that literally. They put their feet upon the necks of those kings. Those that were sitting before upon a throne. Of course. Those that were, I would say in my word, that were big boss. But now when Yahshua overpowered them, then they have to lay on the ground and then they step upon a little feet. And there is nog another text in the Bible. And that is Psalm 110, ook referring to Christ. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And now about Christ, he said, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. And that refers to Christ, that he came in the world. Then, of course, immediately he was all bothered by Herod. And he had to flee to Egypt. But you read in Isaiah 49 verse 3, under the shadow of my hand has I protected you. That was the language of the Father in regard to his Son. And then, later on, before that he came in public to preach the full counsel of God, then he was tempted by the devil three times. But time and again he said, there is written, and the devil had to go away. The devil that came back in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came back on the cross, but there on the cross of Calvary, there the Son of God as mediator and king, he had overpowered all the principalities and all the powers of hell. He placed his feet upon the neck of his enemies. And God's people receive sometime grace in their life. And that privilege to do the same thing. When they are standing in that unmovable faith that overcomes the world. You see that in Paul. You see that in other people of the word of God revealed that they were placing their feet upon the neck of their enemies. And of course, it is also now referring to a text in Job 16, verse 12. And that is now another explanation, or it gives no more light over this text. I read it to you. Job 16, verse 12. I was at ease, but he has broken me asunder. He has also taken me by my neck, and shaken me to pieces, and set me up for his mark. Thus, another explanation of this text is, taken me by my neck. And if somebody is taken by their neck, then they break their power and their strength that they can do nothing. Thus you can realize, people, it refers entirely to the glory of Christ. And that, and for that reason, you read in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, ye little flock, because it is his Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The people that is so many times filled with fear, so many times that they say with David, one of the days I shall perish in the hand of Saul, but then they may look to him, to the king that is at the right hand of his Father, and that his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies, that they shall never have the upper hand. but that they shall all become to an end, and that the power one day shall be broken entirely, but in comfort for the God's people, and that shall be fulfilled especially when they die and when they enter into that heavenly Jerusalem. And now, the last part, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. There's ook something. Is there some people that realize what I will say now about that last part? Because sometimes when you have a text, then there is some people in the church, but of course you must not be learned by the Lord, then you can realize. And then they say, they sit there waiting on. And then they say, now he shall say this, or he shall say that. They are waiting for it. I hope I have many here too this evening. Many. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Are there more children than father's children? Yes. In the Song of Solomon, there you read about the children of the mother. And there is a difference between the father's children and the mother's children. The father's children that are God's elect people. And the mother's children that is the confessing, the professing church. And under the professing church you have all kind of people. But not friends of Christ. Because that is only by regenerating grace. And when that text now said, thy father's children shall bow before thee, then that refers to God's people, to God's children. And they all, the greatest to the smallest, they shall all bow down before that Christ. There comes a time in the life, people, that they need him. Yeah, I thought I spoke this evening about Leah, and I shall it make short. But when you read now that woman in that verse, in that last part of Genesis 29:9, when those first three boys were born, then the question come up whether that now was, that she was a woman with grace. Because, oh, she was but thinking about herself. But she had grace, that woman. Oh, yes. She had grace. But in the first time of their life, then you could not see so much about that grace. But as soon as that Judah was born, then she said, now I shall praise the Lord. Then she came rid of herself for that time. Rid of herself. Shall now an unconverted people come rid of himself? No. But God's people that shall, they have moments in their life that they come rid of himself. And that they are placed above all the circumstances. Above all the circumstances. And that their eyes are only upon the Lord, from whom is all their strength and all their power. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. And that is now a promise too. Because from outside we shall never bow. No. We shall never bow. But it is by the irresistible power and grace of the Lord that God's people is privileged to bow. And we have in one of our souls, in 348 I think, and bow before him there. And bow before him there. Oh, young and old, I shall close for this evening, but I hope that it may please the Lord to give all of us that privilege before we die, before that we have to go the way of all flesh. That there comes a time in our life that we can no more bow for the Moloch of the world and for all the funnies, for all the pleasures of this world, but that we shall hate it, and that it shall be our only desire to lay on our knees, all to beg for grace, for mercy, and for all that we need to be reconciled with God. Oh, congregation, it is a time of grace, and the Lord is not knocking upon the door of our hearts, also in this Saturday. Oh, harden up your heart, people, but that you are privileged to bow before him, before that it is too late. His service, that is a wonderful service, a sweet service, a service wherein we receive the favor of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord, and that not for this time alone, but for the time to come, and then to glorify that Lamb, the lion out of the tribe of Israel, but also that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We have heard about Judah, a black spot in his life, and it is impossible to take that away, but where Christ was the lion out of the tribe of Judah, in his blood he was made whiter than snow. Oh, the Lord, give that our eyes, the eyes of faith, are worth referred to him, to find in him what we need to be reconciled with God, and to confess with gladness in our heart, I believe, the forgiveness of our sin, the resurrection of the dead, and life eternal. The Lord bless it also for his people, to the strengthening of their heart. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Sanctify it to all of our hearts. And remember us further in this evening. Bring us all safely home to our destination, and grant unto us all that we stand and eat up, gladden our hearts, Lord, and hear us with the pardoning of all our sins. Be with us in this week, with fathers and mothers and children. Guide and protect us. Bless us in our labors and in the works of our hands. Prevent us from sinning against thee. Give grace to walk in thy ways. Supply the needs and the wants, also for our school and our children. Remember all inner bereavement and sorrow. Remember all those that have to travel also to their destination. Made everything well with all of us, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 194. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to the uttermost sea. Number 194, the collection is for our school. Thank you.
the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.